It's time to get organized in your life. You may have heard that before or told yourself the very same thing, but where to start? Welcome to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. Join us today as we focus on a part of your physical or emotional space that could use some help decluttering. Now, here's Meryl Starr.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. I'm thinking if you're tuning in, you know about the topic, and either you are a widow or you know somebody that has been widowed. So thank you for being here. I'm very excited for the show today. I would love to know how many of you are aware that the number one stressor on every chart is the death of a spouse. It's said that half of all married couples will experience this loss at some point of their lives, and that is a scary thought. We don't grow up planning for life as a widow or the isolation and fear that we'll feel after losing our life companion, friend, and lover. Most of us grow up prepping for fairy tales lives. As said in the book, stocked with immortal help and eternal love. In the newly released book, From Granny Panties to Thongs, The Morning After, stories are shared by women who had been widowed. Their stories were written to empower other widowed women and to offer insight to those who are curious about dating and moving forward. It's a wonderful, wonderful read. But before we meet Penny and her mother, Sheila, I'd like to talk about a few ways and ideas that you can honor your loved one's memory while moving on in a healthy and life-affirming manner. So here are just a few for you. At times, you may be uncertain or even have the energy or desire to survive, much less try to heal. And these feelings are perfectly normal. Know that it's okay to mourn. Mourning is the open expression of your thoughts and feelings regarding the death of your spouse, and it's an essential part of healthy healing. Remember that how you grieve is your own. No one else had the same relationship you had with your spouse. And your experience will also be influenced by the circumstances surrounding the death. Other losses you experienced, your emotional support system, your cultural and religious background. Because of all this, you will grieve in your own way. It's important not to compare your experiences with that of others, as you will see in many stories and scenarios. So just take one day at a time. Take that approach. That will allow you to grieve at your own pace. Another thing is to talk about your thoughts and feelings. Oh, one second here. Okay. Talk about your thoughts, feelings, and grief. This will help you with your healing. Sharing the special things you miss and the kind of person they were, the activities you enjoyed together, and the memories that allow for both laughter and tears. Speaking from your heart will always feel good. Emotionally, you might feel like you're on a roller coaster. Feelings that affect your head, your heart, and spirit, all part of the grieving process. It takes a great deal of energy and effort to work through such a traumatic experience. Feelings of guilt, confusion, fear, relief, and anger all could come up. Know that these are normal and healthy emotions. It's best to let go and to allow yourself to experience them. Find a support system. The most compassionate self-action you can take is to find a support system of caring friends and relatives who will provide the understanding that you need. Seek out people that are positive and encourage you to be yourself and acknowledge your feelings, both happy and sad. It's important to be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits, the time you need with your spouse's belongings. Remember that holidays, anniversaries, and special occasions can be very difficult. Hold your memories close to your heart. Honor and acknowledge your spirituality. And make sure that you grieve and heal at your own pace. So those are just some tips and things for you out there listening. And I see that Penny is here, so I'm going to pick her up. I'm so excited to start the conversation. So here we go. Hi, Penny.
Hi, Meryl. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was listening. I agree with everything that you said so far.
Oh, I love you. You know, it's so funny because I'm so glad that our mutual friend, Jeannie Kelly, introduced us. And because of her, really, right away when she says something, I'm definitely calling whoever she recommends for me to call. But on top of that, you are a U of M alum.
I am.
And, you know, I'm University of Miami, huge Hurricane fan. So that was the second thing that turned me on. And then, of course, getting the book from Granny Panties to Thongs the morning after was just fabulous. It's really a great book, a great read. Love the cover. I'm sure so many people have told you that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I just want to say that my co-author is listening. So, Joni Dunn, you're out there. Hello. Could not have done this without her. So, just wanted to say a quick shout-out to my homie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, that's a great segue. So, how did this all come about?
Okay.
And hi, Joan, out there. Sorry you couldn't be here with us today.
The way this came about, it actually was several years ago. I mean, we're going back, honestly, over 17 years already.
Mm-hmm.
The impetus for the book was my father died tragically while my parents were vacationing in Alaska.
Mm.
My father had owned two businesses and had always been not only married to my mother, but married to his work. And it wasn't until I wouldn't say retired, but he wasn't even 65 years old. He was 64, and they went on vacation with their very good friends in Alaska, and he died of a massive heart attack while on this beautiful, glorious, sunny day in this beautiful place. And me and my two sisters, we all went out to Alaska in the middle of the night and got there, thank God, in time to say goodbye to him.
Mm-hmm.
But we brought my mother home on the plane, a widow, and my father was actually under the plane. It was surreal. Yeah, he was an unbelievable father, and my parents had a really wonderful, wonderful marriage. And so watching my mother go through this was very, very difficult. And she's a strong woman. She started going to groups and, you know, doing her thing. And she met a male friend very early on in the support group. But she just wasn't ready to be alone, and they were just friends.
Mm-hmm.
But he would accompany her. So, she, you know, if she had to go somewhere, she had someone to go to a movie with. So now you fast forward 2 years. My mother's at my house, and you know, she used to stay for the weekend, and I would do her laundry for her. So I'm in my laundry room, and my laundry room is off my kitchen, and I'm in there by myself, and I reach into the washing machine to put her little load of laundry into the dryer, and I'm holding something that I look at this thing, and it's a bright red thong. I'm like, I'm holding it, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, this can't be my mother's. But I'm looking at everything else, and it is my mother's. And she used to wear the granny panties, you know, up to her neck,
right,
white,
right.
Beige, off-white, you know, maybe
right.
On a fancy day they were dark beige. But so at that moment, even though I was cracking up and I wasn't sure what to do, mm-hmm. I realized that my mother was either having sex or seriously considering having sex,
I
knew nothing about it. And I knew that however I dealt with this, Meryl, was going to be the difference of whether I could have a real conversation with her or she was going to, like, zip her lip. So I had to be true to myself. I put this thong on my head, and I come running out to my house, and I say, Mom, Mom, I have to talk to you. And she comes running in, what? And she sees me, and we look at each other. And she was tan because she lived in Florida, so it was hard to get pale, but she really looked like a ghost. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I said, spill the beans. What is going on? Because I realized that she had a whole life I knew nothing about. And I felt terrible for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother, in all seriousness, was my biggest cheerleader. It didn't matter if it was 6 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning. I could always call her, and he did this, he did that. You know, she would rally if I didn't do well in a test, when I, you know, with law school, if I just everything. She was always there. And so we took that moment to really, you know, we sat down and I realized that this gentleman, whose name is Mel, and she ultimately married him, was the reason my mother got her smile back.
Right.
And that really meant the world to me, because my mother, even though she was living her life, she didn't have her smile the way she glowed at that moment when she was finally able to tell me that, you know, and this is what she said to me, and I'll never forget. After the end of the conversation, Meryl, she looked at me and she said, Penny, most women are lucky to have found true love once in their lives, but I'm fortunate to have found it twice.
Wow.
And I still remember that because she felt, you know, loving somebody else will never annul the love you had for your first spouse. It doesn't. That, you know, the heart has a boundless capacity to love. And she would never have wished that to happen to my dad. But the reason for the book is because, number one, she's a cool lady, and she agreed right away. Okay, you can share my story, but no pictures. I said, okay, nobody wants pictures. But it's a journey of empowerment and inspiration, and there was nothing out there for my mother that didn't deal with grief and death, and nothing of women that actually walked in her shoes and could actually tell her what it would be like to go out on a date and to...
Right.
You know, look in your closet for the first time and say, I have nothing to freaking wear.
Right.
You know, got moo-moos in the closet type thing. So that's basically was the idea. And it wasn't until I met Joni, fast forward now to 2000, the very beginning of 2012.
Right.
And Joni and I were both out at a girls' night out that neither one of us wanted to be at. And we were luckily sat next to each other. And she, unfortunately, had just lost her father. So I was talking to her about that, and then she told me she was a writer and looking to write her first novel. So I look up at the sky, and I thank my father and her father for introducing us.
And, Yeah, I was just going to tell you that, because the fathers were responsible for bringing you girls together, I believe, for sure.
I believe it, too.
Yeah, yeah, and, for sure.
You know... So she's my female wife. We clicked right away and started writing this book. And her mother was just going through the very beginning stages. And her mother has a story in the book as well. We each have one story in the book, and we're very open about which is our story. The other ones are anonymous. Yeah, and that's basically the impetus of the book. I don't know if you want me to go on with that.
Right. I mean, you know what? I really enjoyed reading the book. It's a very fast read. The stories are it's bittersweet, you know, and it's lovely. I think it's very motivational and a great read for anybody that's in this situation. And I love the way it's laid out. I love the stories, the titles of the stories, from the woman to Cinderella to one of my favorites, I'm Doing the Best I Can, There's Always a Passage. They're cute little stories. And then after, I love the fact that you girls did the morning after update. It's just so cute. It's just lovely. It's really a great read. And what is the thing that you most want women in this situation out there to know?
What I'd really like women to know out there is that, you know, life does move on. And although this is a very difficult time, that the heart does have an endless capacity to love, and that each of these women that agreed to share their stories, they were very intimate stories.
Yes.
When Joni and I interviewed these women, this was not over the phone. This was all done in person, and people wonder, where did you get the women? And, you know, we asked a lot of people, spoke to a lot of people, didn't take every story, but then they would give us to, you know, another woman. And the women were almost like a cork on a bottle when you pop champagne and it makes that loud noise.
Right.
They had never been able to share their stories, and because they're so personal and they were so afraid of being judged. So my advice to women is, if you read this book and you can see that these women were once in your shoes, and you can see that even though it's dark, it's safe.
Yes.
And that once you take your first foot forward, we are all empowered. Nobody else could do this for us. And there's going to be a lot of people that say they're not ready. You know, I went to a funeral the other day, and I was with a friend of mine from law school who had unfortunately lost his wife several years ago, very young. They were in their 30s. And he read my book, our book. Sorry, Joni. He read our book, and he looked at me and he said, the reason I related to your book is because no matter what advice anyone has ever said to me, they never, quote, get it. But when I read your book, the things that these women were saying, I felt too.
Right.
And so I felt that I could relate to these women and that this can happen for me. And this was a guy who really hasn't dated much. He said it really motivated me when I read these stories and realized that it's really not a disservice to my love for my ex, you know, my late wife or anything. And so that's kind of what I would say to people is they may not be ready, you know, your daughter, your son-in-law, your neighbors, but it's not about them. It's about you.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's so true. And it takes to read something like this, it's always nice. It's always good for us to read about other people's stories because a lot of people tend to think that it's just them that are having these feelings or they're just going through this situation. And when you're reading the book, you're like, oh, okay, well, geez, somebody else is like that. You know, this happened to them. You know, this is what I can do to help myself. And that's where the motivation comes in, which is really nice. You know, one of the stories in Destiny, which is your mom's story?
From granny panties to thongs.
Okay, that's that. Okay. And what about Joni's mom? What was her story?
Reflections from a Daughter.
Okay. Okay, great. So we could talk about that a little bit later. But I also liked Destiny.
Yes.
And I loved also the paragraphs that, you know, that were on the front page, like with Destiny. It said, we had reached that glorious stage of life when we could plan trips, enjoy our private time together, and just be fun grandparents. She said she was 58 years young when all of that came to a crashing halt. My husband died suddenly after suffering a massive heart attack while we were on our way on vacation. Nothing can prepare a person for that type of loss. For a long time, I did nothing but exist. I gave up exercise, socializing, and was unable to be the same doting grandmother. And that is so true for so many, so many women out there. And in her story, one of the things that stood out for me was that she said, I decluttered the house and invited my family over for a shopping spree. And of course, I think and have worked with so many women and men that have lost their spouses, and that is one thing that is so important to do. And I mentioned before that you want to, of course, take your time with your spouse's possessions, but when you are ready, that is such an important thing to do because it will help you in the healing process.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things we did, and I'm sure many people out there have done the same thing, is we all still sleep in our dad's shirts. And, you know, my mother, whatever, let's say a pocket knife or a necklace, you know, each grandchild. And we, every year on my father's birthday, every single year, we French crullers were always his favorite dessert. And mm-hmm. we eat them every single year. And
I read
I tell,
that. That's
yeah,
so lovely.
And I really tell people that it's really nice to, when you have grandchildren, to start some type of tribute and legacy. And mm-hmm. our kids were little at that time, and they would all bring him into school, and it was a celebration of his life every year, and we still do it. My mother is remarried. She still does it. Her husband partakes in it now, and it's a living tribute.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that people can do to,
of course.
You know, yeah, and it's just a nice thing.
Of course, and we never want to, and we'll never forget our loved ones. I mean, I do believe that once someone passes, they're passing here in the physical world, but they are still here in the spiritual world, and listening and showing support in ways that people might not see, but they're always there for us, always.
I wanted to follow up on one quick thing that you said, Meryl,
mm-hmm.
that when women read the book, they realize that other people have walked in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
When these stories are anonymous. When my mother read the story about destiny, about the person who went on vacation and lost her
mm-hmm.
spouse,
mm-hmm.
she couldn't believe it. And I never told her that story. But we didn't know till much later on that Alaska is apparently not a great place to go for men that are over a certain age because of the altitude issues.
Wow.
So, here she is going through a situation thinking, no one in a million years will ever believe this, okay? And here's
mm-hmm.
another woman
right.
who my mother will never know who
right.
lost her husband. So that's the unique aspect of this, because we really tried to pick things that people think only happened to them. One
right.
of the common themes was being married to someone who's been ill for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very isolating and sexless and lonely, because to the outside world you still have your spouse. But if they've been sick, and I know a lot of people listening out there can relate to this, you become more of a caretaker.
Yes.
And, you know, you're really married. You're one and a half people, not two. And so by
right.
the time, God forbid, your spouse passes, you've mourned that person for a very long time, so the grieving process is going to be different than someone who's tragically lost while on vacation.
Right. Yes,
and people,
for sure.
People tend to judge that, and I really, you know, Joni and I work hard to tell people nobody wants to hear those comments. That's one of the things my friend said in the car. You know,
mm-hmm.
that one person would say to him, you should start dieting right away, and then 5 minutes later someone would say, I heard you should wait 3 years.
Right.
You know, all this unsolicited advice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so individual, like everything else. You know, everybody has to move along their path when it's right for them. And they
yeah.
are the only people that are going to know when it's right for them. And there's no right and wrong, in my opinion. You know, somebody wants to start dating right away. Somebody never wants to date. It's whatever works for them. There's no right and wrong.
There's no right and wrong, and when you look out on the road and you see all the different types of cars and all the different types of colors and wonder why there's so many choices, it's because you would probably look out at a road and go, I would never drive any of those cars. I love mine.
Right.
Everyone's taste is unique. Everyone's decisions are unique. And the book really puts people in situations where they are sometimes going against the advice or the feelings of other people in their lives. And that's where the inner strength comes from, that my mother used to say to me, you have your life.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love me, but I go home at night by myself.
Right.
And it's very lonely, and you love me differently than your father loved me. And now she's traveling again. And
it's great. Well, what a perfect segue. I also loved your dedication to Sheila, and I'm going to pick her up in a minute, but I wanted to read the dedication because it's so lovely. It says,
thank
to
you.
My mom and my best friend, Sheila, Dad was the wind beneath your wings. You are mine. Your personal journey is what inspired this book. I love you, Penny. So let's pick up your mom.
Okay.
Hello, Sheila. Hello, Sheila. Where is she?
I don't know.
Okay, let's see. Maybe that's... Okay, wait. Hello, Sheila.
Oh, hello, Meryl. Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
I'm wonderful, and thank you for having me on. And the best advice I can give is everyone should have a daughter.
How wonderful are you? And I agree. Totally agree. Everyone should have a daughter. And how lucky are you? And my hat goes off to you for your drive. And your journey certainly is inspiring. And I will continue to be inspiring to everybody out there that purchases from Granny Panties to Thongs.
It's a wonderful book. And I love to share my story about a second love. I found that there is life after a loss, and mm-hmm. life is for the living.
Yes.
And we have to live it.
It's so true. I'm getting goosebumps just hearing you speak, because your words are true, and it's important for, you know, women and men to realize that out there. It's a traumatic experience, and if you can just get past that and realize that everybody does get a second chance, you just have to be open to the experience.
You have to take it. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we never know what road life is going to take us.
Right.
We have to travel it, and some people travel it better than others.
Yes, absolutely. So what are just a couple of things that you could say to women out there that are maybe just experiencing this? What tips or advice do you have for them?
Well, you have to be open.
Mm-hmm.
I dated a bit after my husband died, but I really wasn't into it and I wasn't excited about it. But when I was ready, I went to my good friends and I said, you know, I'm really ready now. If you know anybody, I'd really love to meet someone. And
right.
one of my best friends was a best friend of Mel's, my husband now. And my best friend said to Mel, I want you to meet somebody. And Mel came down to Florida. He was visiting a woman friend, and mm-hmm. we had made a date. We went out. We had a wonderful time. And when we came back to my apartment, he said goodbye. I said, goodbye? I said, what do you mean? He says, I'm not coming back to Florida. You're coming to New Jersey? I said, goodbye. 8 months later, we both moved into the same community, and the same friend said to him, call Sheila. She's your neighbor. And it was good right away. So my advice is tell your friends you're ready, because most people know somebody, and you
Absolutely.
Never know.
Absolutely. That's great advice for anybody out there, so I appreciate that. Now, I know that there are some, Penny, there are some like social events and dating and planning that you're doing out there, I believe just in Florida, correct?
Right now they're just in Florida.
Tell me about that, because actually my mom is going to be calling in a little while, and I wanted her to, we'll talk about the book with her too, and then I want her to get involved in some of those events because she is widowed as well. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, the JCC in Delray Beach, it's called the Ruth Rails Center, which is on Atlantic Avenue, and we will be Joni and I will be speaking there. I'm pulling up my calendar now so I can give you the actual date.
Right, so we can give that everybody out there that's listening.
The Delray Beach Library is actually, this is the cool one.
Okay.
The book, Suddenly Solo, the gentleman's the author's name, his name is Hal, and he lost his wife. He's 86 years old. His wife was 8 years younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
And when she died, he realized that there was nothing out there actually for him in terms of, he wanted to just understand, and so he started speaking to people, and he wrote this book, and we got together and decided that not only do we want to speak about the topic, but wouldn't it be nice to then incorporate what we're learning about and not necessarily set up dating afterwards, but just socializing, getting people
right.
comfortable making small talk and, you know, laughing again. And if a shit out can happen in the meantime, a date, well, God bless. That would be awesome.
Right. Right.
So that is happening in the Delray Beach Library January 19th.
January 19th.
And that is open to the public. Yeah, some of the things we're doing are not necessarily open because you have to be a member of the group that's bringing us. But
okay.
The Ruth Rails event is, and we're actually looking to, we have one potential event in California, but I'll post it on our website. Our website is www.FromGrannyPantiesToThongs.com. Joni writes the blog for the site. There's some, you know, she's a wonderful writer. There's some meaningful blogs. So people can find us that way. Our events are scheduled on there.
Great, great. And I want to, actually, my mom is here, so let's pick her up. And Sheila, are you still with us?
Of course.
Okay, great. Let's pick up my mom. Hey, Mom.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, hi. Thanks for calling in. Mom, meet Sheila, meet Penny.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Sheila and Penny.
Hello.
So I was...
I must tell you, your book is wonderful.
Thank you.
So is my daughter.
How lovely.
Can I ask you what story you loved?
I think it touched on all of them. I had something to relate to all of them.
Nice.
That's great. So, yeah.
How long are you a widow?
13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, ladies, let me interrupt. My mom, it's been 13 years. My mom is has been dating here and there. She could probably talk about some of those experiences, but she's beautiful. She's motivational. She's creative. She's just a great all-around woman, but she's also having a tough time meeting people.
It's not that easy.
Not anymore. You have me on your team.
That's right.
Okay.
That's why, that was another one of the reasons why I was so excited about not only reading the book, but meeting you for my mom.
I will just tell you this, and I don't know if your mom could relate, and I hope that she does, but I know it did for my mother. When she was dating the friends in the very beginning, her energy was very low, and she was kind of just going with the flow. She radiates, and when I say she had her smile back, she was completely my mother again.
Mm-hmm.
And when your energy is positive and you're really ready to meet someone and you look in the mirror and you feel like you're happy again, because some people look in the mirror and they say, what happened? You know, when did I stop taking care of myself? That is an attractive energy, and people start meeting people because they don't realize it, but they're encouraging people to come towards them because they're ready. It's an interesting thing the way our mind works.
Yes, absolutely. You have to be.
I understand that.
But sometimes
so, Mom,
the best sources are your friends, and they don't know that you're ready unless you tell them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Mom, I was, Sheila is having this, not Sheila, Penny, they're having the event at the JCC. Did you hear that?
Oh, in Boca Raton?
Mm-hmm.
It's in Delray Beach. It's the Ruth Rail Center on Atlantic Avenue.
Okay, I know where that is, yes.
And that's open to the public. But we're having a co-ed one in January at the Delray Beach Library, and I would love you to join us.
Okay, just send me an invitation. I'd love to go. If you're not out there, then you can't meet. You just got to be out there.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I just want to add this, that one of the things I wanted to talk about was whether or not the dating rules have changed from early on. And I encourage women out there, there's a difference between being aggressive and assertive. And one of the things that Hal found in his book when he interviewed men, and I want to just throw this out there because the opposite sex always wants to know what the other guy's thinking. Men are, used to be years ago, the guy, we had to wait on the side until they actually called us, they arranged the date, came to the door. Times have changed. It's not that way. And women have to realize that as men get older and they've lost their spouse or they're single for a different reason, they're no longer as socially savvy as women are. We're much more comfortable in the social arena.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell us that the only women he would call when he met women, because obviously the ratio is not the same, were the women who would say, if you'd like to call me, I'd love to hear from you, and they would give him a calling card. You know, it didn't say 1-800-CALL-ME, but it was, you know, a nice, her name, her number,
right.
You know, maybe a cute title. But he said that those were the women he called because he appreciated the fact that they made it easy for him because he was never good at getting that out. So I would encourage you to go for $10 to, you know, one of the stores and just get a pretty card and you keep them in your pocketbook. And, you know, when you meet a friend and they say, maybe I know someone, give them the card. When you meet a stranger and you think, this way you have something to hand and the information is captured.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great.
Sounds
Sheila,
great
I have a question. I have a question for you, Sheila. The other women in your community, or are you know friends of yours?
I'm in a very large senior community.
Right. So, do people come to you for advice, or are there any groups that you lead at this point?
No, no. There are no groups. I really have to say no to that. They don't have groups for advice here. This is like a playground. But the activities are all for playing or for art and stuff like that. But they don't really go into the personal thing in any of the groups, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm thinking that this would be, you know, something great for you to get involved in, you know, especially that the book is out there.
You know, Penny is going to be speaking at our community, and that's an excellent idea, and I'm going to start working on it.
I think it's going to be great because you are motivational and inspirational, and people could just use to hear your voice.
Thank you. That's such a wonderful compliment.
Yes.
Well,
and my
mom
will come. I'm telling you, my mom is going to help you.
And that's what I want to say, Meryl. The JCCs, your mom should look up. There are single boomer clubs all over the place.
Yeah,
and they do tons of fun activities.
Does your mom live in Florida?
Yeah, she's in Boca.
Oh, she's in Boca.
Boca Raton.
Oh, well, we could probably exchange phone numbers.
Yes, we're going to do that. We'll do that via email. We won't do that on the air, but definitely we're going to do that because my mom is – you're going to love her. Everybody loves my mom. She's
fabulous.
We
should do it on the air, so look at all the calls we'll get.
That's kidding.
Well, this has really been great, and I want to thank everybody for coming on. Mom, is there anything else that you wanted to add? Because I know that you read the book and you had your own experience.
I'd like an invitation to the next event, and I will even bring some lovely women with me and maybe some men, too.
That would be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. And, so, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're expecting about 300 people.
Oh, I look forward to meeting you there because I expect to go also.
Oh, this is fabulous. This makes me feel so good. So thank you so much to all of you for being here, Mom, Sheila, Penny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll all connect. Oh, you're so welcome. And the book, again, is just wonderful, From Granny Panties to Thongs, The Morning After. It can be purchased and from Amazon and I'm sure bookstores all over the place. Is that correct?
Not yet. If any bookstores are listening, we're trying. It's a wonderful book, but no, it's not in bookstores yet. We are selling on Amazon right now.
Right, which is fabulous. Which is fabulous, and I'm sure it will be in bookstores because it's really a great read. It really is. So
well, thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Until we meet again, enjoy the day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, what a nice show that was. It's always great to have good guests on. Thank you so much to Penny, my mom, Marilyn, and Sheila for sharing your ideas, tips, and thanks to all of you for tuning in. What a great show. I will see you soon as I focus on real issues, always with real people. If you need to make a change in any aspect of your life, you're in the right place. As always, I look forward to hearing from you via email or phone. I love your stories. Thank you for all of them and for giving me your thoughts and sending me your questions.
For continued tips and ideas, please follow me on my various social media platforms, Twitter at Meryl Starr, my Facebook fan page, or my LinkedIn profile. And of course, check out those YouTube videos. Also, if you would like someone, if there is somebody that you know that would like to hear this week's show or any week's show, they are always available on my Blog Talk Radio homepage. So please keep listening as we tackle life situations and learn how to remove the clutter in every aspect of our lives. My goal is to help you make a positive change in your life. So tune in as I focus on you. Until next time, keep it simple.